it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning. It is Chris and Amy. We are glad that you've decided to hang out with us for a little bit today, with you until 12 o'clock. Then it is the Gas House Gang at 12. We'll talk some Cardinals baseball and more. Then Bernie Miklas and me will be on that show for an hour from 12 until 1. The phone number is 314-436-7900. Feel free to visit with us today throughout the morning. Voice messages welcome also on the Odyssey app. You download that app to listen to the show live on your phone. And you can also drop us a voice message directly from that app. It's super simple to do. If you would like to watch the show today or any other day, you can on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. We are on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Massive news from yesterday afternoon. Conservative activist, talk show host, and more. Charlie Kirk was shot and killed at a university in Utah. We're glad that we'll be speaking with Major Garrett today, the chief Washington correspondent, because a lot of news to get to with him.
Yeah, just a deeply sad time in our country yesterday. And today, September 11th, marks 24 Jeez. Years since the terror attacks.
That's been a long time. And it just, I keep thinking about there's a generation of people that don't remember it, and that's wild to me, because at the time it just seemed like
kids have graduated from college
that
were not alive.
Also, the Cardinals, they lost to the Mariners last night. They get swept there in Seattle off today. They will play in Milwaukee. That series begins tomorrow. So we do start today with the killing of Charlie Kirk, when it appears that it happened by a sniper. It looks like, and we don't have all the details yet, we don't know who did it. That person is still on the loose, but it looks like it was done with some sort of rifle from a rooftop far away from where he was speaking at Utah Valley University in Provo, which is south of Salt Lake City by about a half hour or so. So this is, and I watched, way too much news yesterday, Amy. Looked at way too much Twitter yesterday, Blue Sky, just trying to get an idea of how people were taking this news, which is it's tragic. It's tragic for him and his family. It is tragic, I think, for the country. And that's where I'm there today. Yesterday and all last night, my thought was, this is really bad. And I am very nervous about what happens next. And I think for many of us, we've kind of been living in this state of nervousness about not knowing what country or what direction the country is going, and knowing that there are a lot of people who feel like I do. And, you know, maybe it's not the majority of the country. And it's for various reasons. People on the left feel like it is going the wrong direction for one reason. People on the right feel like it's going the wrong direction for a different reason. But I think many of us feel like it is. And when stuff like this happens, when you have Minnesota legislators murdered, when you have attempts on a president's life or a presidential candidate's life, when all of these things happen, it feels like we are headed in such a bad direction. And my feeling yesterday and into last night was, I don't know how we come back from this. At least in my lifetime, I don't know how we come back from it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to bed. I'll wake up tomorrow, feel a little bit better about it. Maybe I just didn't get enough sleep. But today I have the same feeling. I don't know how we come back from this. And I don't know how bad it gets. And I hope that I'm just nervous for nothing. I hope that I'm worried for nothing, that we're all going to be okay, that the rational people are going to hold the rest of us together. But I'm having a difficult time being there today.
Yeah, it is a deeply and profoundly sad time for our country on multiple levels. First and foremost, a husband and a father is dead. 31 years old, Charlie Kirk was. Two toddler-aged kids, two little kids that don't have a dad, a wife that doesn't have a husband anymore. And it has hit people very, very hard. And looking at the situation, there are a lot of reasons why. Charlie Kirk was, you know, very outspoken on the right. He had his show, the Charlie Kirk Show. He had his social media presence. But for a lot of people, and I think what really gained a lot of momentum, especially in clips on social media, were the debates that he had. He had, you know, the tent that said, change my mind. And whether or not you agreed with Charlie Kirk, what he was doing was exercising the First Amendment, and he was inviting people to debate, which is sorely lacking in our current political environment. A lot of people have podcasts. A lot of people have shows. A lot of people, politicians, grandstand on their respective cable networks that maybe support their point of view. But what Charlie Kirk did is he would go to universities, invite people to change his mind, make their statements. He would debate back and forth, some, you know, generally pretty on both sides, pretty calm. I never really saw yelling, right? Maybe there were snarky answers.
Sometimes he got heated. There was a turning point event where he was on stage yelling at somebody in the crowd.
That would be like a turning point event, but I'm talking about
his debates with college students.
And that is so fundamental to United States democracy. This guy is not a politician. He's influential. He's not a politician. He's not making legislation. We may disagree with him, but he was out there making his arguments, and he was listening to other people argue back. And to have that person murdered in front of a bunch of kids because we don't know the suspect yet, but presumably wasn't a fan of his point of view, but presumably a political assassination here, that strikes at the very heart of America.
See, we don't know, and that is, it's very important to note, we have no idea what the person who did this, what their motivation was, what their politics were. I think we, after the president, Trump, when he was a candidate last year, was shot in the ear, everybody just assumed right away, well, this is some sort of liberal lunatic, and we found out later that he wasn't. He was a guy who was a registered Republican and appeared to want to go after any politician that was in his proximity because he had a kill list and there were Democrats and Republicans on it alike. So that didn't seem to be a political ideology that drove that or him to do it. It kind of looked like, well, the president was close to him and he had an opportunity and he took it. So I think we have to still be very, very careful about assigning blame to anybody or to one political ideology. And I know that, I mean, it's already happened. And that is part of what scares me about this, is that what I wanted yesterday was people to say, all right, that's it. We all have to cool it.
Yeah,
all of us, right, left, everybody has to cool it. And here's the governor of Utah yesterday, within about an hour or two after the shooting, and he did it exactly the way I think it should have been done.
Our nation is broken. We've had political assassinations recently in Minnesota. We had an attempted assassination on the governor of Pennsylvania. And we had an attempted assassination on a presidential candidate and former president of the United States, and now current president of the United States. Nothing I say can unite us as a country. Nothing I can say right now can fix what is broken. Nothing I can say can bring back Charlie Kirk. Our hearts are broken. We mourn with his wife, his children, his family, his friends. We mourn as a nation. If anyone in the sound of my voice celebrated even a little bit at the news of this shooting, I would beg you to look in the mirror and to see if you can find a better angel in there somewhere. I don't care what his politics are. I care that he was an American. We desperately need our country. We desperately need leaders in our country. But more than the leaders, we just need every single person in this country to think about where we are and where we want to be. To ask ourselves, is this it? Is this what 250 years has wrought on us? I pray that that's not the case. I pray that those who hated what Charlie Cook stood for will put down their social media and their pens and pray for his family, and that all of us will try to find a way to stop hating our fellow Americans.
And Spencer Cox, the Republican really governor of Utah, it was probably, and that was off the cuff too, I think, of all things that were said yesterday or tweeted out. And a lot of the stuff that's tweeted out is curated ahead of time. You know, they're really thinking about what they want to say before they say it. He was just speaking from the heart. And I thought that was about as good as it gets. And that's what I want. I wanted everybody to do that. I think the president yesterday when he spoke, he sort of failed at that. And I think that's unfortunate because he made it a left-wing violence, left-wing, 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 when we know there's also right-wing violence, too. It was an opportunity to say we need to cool it. I don't agree with much of anything that Charlie Kirk had to say, and I think some of his viewpoints were borderline vile. But this isn't it. This is not it. This is not how we do it. He can go to any college campus he wants, and he should be allowed to do that. Speak freely. If people shout at him, fine. If people want to shout him down, fine. But you don't get to gun him down. You don't get to do stuff like this. And I don't care what the motivation is for it. It can't happen. It doesn't matter if this person is left wing or right wing or just a crazy person who took an opportunity and thought they could, you know, make a news story or has some other agenda that we don't even know about or not even conceiving of yet. This can't be the way we handle people we disagree with. And I disagreed with him in a very, very big way.
And like we said, we don't know anything about the suspect now. We don't know the reasons why. Obviously, your brain will think, okay, if he was outspoken politically, it might be politically motivated, and it very, very well could be. It could be a combination of political motivation and severe mental instability, right? Like there's some, we just don't know. But again, going back to the fact that with Charlie Kirk, he was not a politician. He was an influential figure. He was young, very popular with young, right-leaning Americans. He would go to college campuses and debate. And honestly, you know, it did bring a different side to a lot of college campuses, because we do know that a lot of the faculty, the teachers, data's pretty clear that they tend to, like all academic institutions, lean more left. So if Charlie Kirk came, you know, he was very leaning right. And so you would get that collision of political viewpoints and ideology. But there was discussion. And that is what is so shocking and why we recoil from this at a magnitude that is really quite striking, Ranj. Every living president, still living, former president, spoke out about this. Because there's this recognition that this is a very bad moment. This is a dark moment.
And I hope there's a way for us to pull back from it before it gets worse. And there is an opportunity. That's the thing, is that we can, we don't have to keep going down this path. We can choose not to. I'm just afraid that there are too many influential people who are not going to tone it down, who are not going to turn down the temperature. I don't think it's going to happen. And that's what makes me nervous about what's to come here. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji, we of course want to hear from you throughout the day at 314-436-7900. You can also leave us a voice message from the Odyssey app. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
104.1 FM KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy Show. Thankful that you're spending time with us this morning until 12 o'clock. And of course, your thoughts are always welcome. If you want to text in, you can at 314-436-7900. We are talking about the murder that happened yesterday. Charlie Kirk just started speaking to a crowd in a Utah university. It was not the University of Utah. It was Utah Valley, which is in Provo. It's south of Salt Lake City, just to give you an idea of where it was. I know I had mentioned that I did not agree with Charlie Kirk. A lot of people did not agree with Charlie Kirk and the things he had to say, the ideas he had. A couple of people have called in and said, what exactly about him is vile? What did he have? And I think the stuff about, you know, seeing a black pilot and then saying, well, I'm not sure he's qualified when you get on a plane. If you see a pilot who's black, automatically wondering if they even belong there. I think that's a vile thing to say. That's just, I mean, I don't like it. He was free to say those things. He was free to say that the civil rights movement was a mistake, or that the Civil Rights Act was a mistake, which he did. And that's okay. It was his right to do that. I mean, the overall point is, it's not about what he said that was or wasn't detestable to me. And some people probably agree with him. In fact, many people do, and that's okay. You're allowed to agree with ideas that I think are awful, but you don't get to kill a guy if you disagree with him. You just, that can't be us. And we don't even know what the motivation of the shooter was. We have to continue to reiterate that because it could be a number of things. We have no idea what this guy was thinking. But if it's because he disagreed with him and wanted to silence him because of that, we cannot be that kind of country.
No. And, you know, there are people who are very, very online, and there are people who are not online. We talked about voters in 2020 and 2024, and there's a phrase called the uninformed voter. That doesn't mean uneducated. The uninformed voter is actually normal people. It's people who have a life, people who go to soccer practice and go to the grocery store and aren't glued to cable news and aren't glued to Twitter or TikTok, right? And I do think with certain political commentators, you could see several clips of Charlie Kirk and the debates that he had with people where I would say, oh, that's, I agree with that. I could see several clips. Then you see, because it's a clip, right? It's a snapshot. Then you see other clips that you disagree with. There are, especially on social media and special on podcasts, it's easy to be sneering or contemptuous when talking about more sensitive topics. And we see this from all kinds of podcasters and politicos. And so those comments could be offensive to people. But I say all this because Charlie Kirk was a very popular influencer. And there probably were a lot of young people as well who saw, you know, clips or debates that they agreed with. And I think they felt heard by a lot of what he said, especially young men. I think they felt heard. In a lot of clips, he does stand up for more traditional values. And I think that's important to people. And so there are probably a lot of people who, my goodness, you know, I could be one of them where, you know, I see a clip, I think, oh, that's actually good. I agree with that. Then you may see something else. And that's the thing. You're not going to agree with someone 100% of the time. Some pop comments you're going to disagree with or like or whatever. But I say that because there are a lot of people who liked what he said and supported what he said, even if they didn't support all of what he said. And to Ranj's point, to see him gunned down was so shocking in front of all those kids, all those students at the university, and doing what is pretty darn American, which is having a debate and a conversation with people you disagree with, because that's what he does. He invites them to have that debate.
Right.
And that strikes at the heart of the United States.
Again, I think some of his viewpoints were pretty awful. I mean, like, you know, saying black women lacked brain processing power. That's a crazy thing to say, but he was allowed to say them. Nazis are allowed to gather. With their SS uniforms, if they have them, they're allowed to do that if they want to. That's the United States. That's the country that we have. And we've decided we should have that.
Even if you think the viewpoint, calling him that.
No, I'm saying that groups of people, no matter how detestable you think they are or their opinions are allowed to gather and express them. And they should be allowed to do that without the threat of violence. Doesn't mean you can't shout at them or disagree with them or counter protest against them. Those things are allowed, but killing somebody because you disagree with them or because they're on the other side politically, absolutely not. That's not the country that we can have here. We have all agreed a long time ago, before we were even born, we as a country decided we were not going to be that dissent was not going to be a punishable by death offense. That's what makes me nervous now, is I do think there are going to be people who take it upon themselves to have vengeance for Charlie Kirk. And again, we don't know why this happened, who did it, why they did it. And we need to be very, very careful about what we do going forward. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Again, your viewpoints. We want to hear from you today at 314-436-7900. It's 104.1 FM KMOX.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris and Amy on KMOX. It is 104.1 FM. Your thoughts, we are taking them at 314-436-7900. Go ahead, and if you want to drop us voice messages, they're very, very easy to use that system, and we hope that you will do that. So with us now is, and we're going to New York City because there's a lot going on today. Of course, we're trying to figure out, or authorities are trying to figure out, who committed the murder yesterday of Charlie Kirk, the conservative influencer, and that investigation is ongoing. Meanwhile, the 9/11 memorial happened this morning. It's been 24 years since September 11th happened. We are joined now by Michael Wallace with CBS News, who's with us on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Michael. How are you?
Doing fine, guys. How are you?
We're doing okay, you know, considering everything that is going on. I know that you are in New York at the moment, and the memorial just happened not that long ago.
Yep, just wrapped up the moment of silence for when the second tower fell. That's the last of the series of moments of silence throughout the morning. It's been 24 years, but for most of us here, it still feels like yesterday, especially those of us like myself who were there at Ground Zero that day. It's those images are just seared in your memory and don't go away.
Yeah, Michael, they are seared because it was so surreal as it was happening. Us, you know, I'm watching it on television. It doesn't feel real. It feels like time stopped. Can you walk us through your experience that day?
Sure. I was working with Wall Street Journal Radio in the World Financial Center, which was right across the street from the Trade Center. After the second plane hit, we all realized it was an attack, and so we all evacuated our building and ended up about a block away down the street where we watched the fire response. We unfortunately watched all those poor souls jump from the buildings, never thinking, of course, that the buildings were going to come down until, of course, the first one did, and then we ran for our lives further down into, you know, lower Manhattan to get away from it all, but we were all caught up in that dust cloud.
So the last time I was in New York was about 9 years, I guess, 8-9 years after that happened. And the construction was going on at the site of the World Trade Center. And just from watching on television, clearly it is a much different place now because it has been 15 or so years since my visit there. When you go to that spot, I mean, what does it feel like when you were there, knowing what used to be there and knowing everything that did happen there?
Chris, I have to be completely honest with you. I've never gone. I can't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't do it. Maybe someday I will. I hope to. But I've just never, you know, people have asked, you want to come with me or do you have any interest? And I don't think I'm there yet. I don't know if I ever will be. But, you know, certainly from people who I know well who have gone, it is a very moving experience. You can literally spend all day there looking at all the exhibits in the museum or, you know, the reflecting pools above ground that are so poignant. But for me personally, that's something that I have not done yet.
Hmm. You know, Michael, it has been a very heavy 24 hours. And looking at moments in this country that were watersheds and how they affected the country, the trajectory of the country. You look at things like the Kennedy assassination. You look at 9/11 and not comparing. I don't compare tragedies. But just when you look at the political environment, you look at things that were politicized, that weren't politicized. How have you seen our country's response to tragedy change over the past two decades?
Yeah, well, I think it changed a lot after 9/11. I mean, just certainly by the fact that so much had to change, right? Airport security, building security. I mean, in New York City, you can't enter practically any office building without being stopped by security or at least some plexiglass gates and have to show IDs and all that. So that's all changed. And then just in general, there's just this sense of dread or malaise, especially after the Charlie Kirk shooting yesterday and the Colorado school shooting and all the recent shootings, just kind of it's almost like a what's going to happen next kind of feeling. I know a couple of people in the newsroom who are a little older than I have likened kind of like that 1968 feeling, you know, with RFK, Martin Luther King, like what's next? And I think that's kind of the stage where a lot of Americans' headspaces are at right now is we're not on a good path here.
Michael Wallace, I wish you hadn't said that because it's the way I've been feeling all day and last night. And I was hoping you would tell me the opposite. So I know that you've got other places you need to check in with, and we appreciate you taking time today to speak with us. And we hope to do it again soon.
Sure, guys. Anytime. Thanks.
Michael Wallace, CBS News with us on KMOX.
You know, him bringing up 1968 is very poignant because I was also thinking of the 1970s, which was peak domestic terrorism in the U.S. You know, obviously, I wasn't born yet, so mm-hmm. It was something that I learned about but didn't live through when there were hundreds of attacks, a lot of bombings by radical groups like the Weather Underground. And that must have been such a scary time, an overwhelming time. And so I would like to think that as a country, I hope the tragedy of yesterday, the remembrance of the tragedy of 9/11 will calm us down, slow us down a bit, and realize this is not a sustainable trajectory to live in a superheated political environment where violence is so frequent that you can't keep up with it. And I say that because Michael brought up the Colorado shooting.
Mm-hmm.
which I heard on the periphery yesterday that there was a shooting at a high school in Evergreen, Colorado. And but I had just heard a shooting in Colorado, but of course we were consumed with other news. And then this morning, my phone started, I started getting notifications that the Evergreen Park is closed and this Evergreen roadway is closed because I'm going to Evergreen on Saturday. I'll be in Evergreen, Colorado. My good friend lives there. And I started Googling Evergreen, Colorado. Evergreen High School is where the shooting happened. Two kids were shot. And we don't know why. It was a suspect with, I believe they said, a revolver brought into the school. The first thing I did this morning, after thinking, I came in early to prep for just kind of get my thoughts together with everything that happened, the tragedy with Charlie Kirk. And all of a sudden, I now I'm texting and calling my friend to see if he, if his son is okay, you know, if their family is okay, if their friends are okay. And it was a bit of an overwhelming morning. And to think that that shooting at that high school, which should be a very, very big deal, kind of got buried yesterday.
We barely talked about it. Yeah. I think it got less than 1% of the coverage and yesterday, just watching all day and into the night.
And that's a small community, Ranj. It's a tight-knit community. And like I said, call to be on a phone and talking to your friend to make sure their family's okay is very surreal. And it's a heavy time.
You know, and the thing about the school shooting is, I don't know that the that Charlie Kirk's murder yesterday, I'm not sure that if that hadn't happened, we still wouldn't have been talking about the Colorado school shooting. I mean, it would have been on the news, but people would have just forgotten about it because we've become so used to it. Mm-hmm. We're so used to school shootings now. When I was in high school, never once thought about it. Never once even considered the possibility of a shooting happening in the school or somebody coming in armed like they were going to do a bunch of damage as much as possible in tactical gear. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a student shooting up the school or, you know, a kid who used to go there, whatever it is. We didn't think about that kind of stuff. And 30 years later, it is so normal that when it does happen, it's like, oh, another school shooting. That's really sad. What else is going on today? I mean, it's crazy that this is where we are.
And I want to be clear with the Evergreen. It does seem a bit different than some of the other school shootings we've seen where there's a manifesto and all of that. This was a revolver. They're looking in to see if the kids knew each other. They don't know anything yet. It's still just, you know, a tragic situation. But to your point, Ranj, about it happening, the shooting at the Catholic school recently, and all those little kids in mass, literally, you know, praying, all sitting there together, and when they were slaughtered, that hits so close to home. I mean, we're St. Louis. We're the home of, like, so many Catholic schools and so many Catholic grade schools, and I don't know that there's a single person that in St. Louis that either didn't go at some point to a Catholic mass or a Catholic school or have good friends. So it was very visceral and very real for us. I know local Catholic schools still have police officers.
Sure.
Surrounding their grade schools. And parents are telling their kids, well, the police officers are there to help everyone feel safe.
And you know what? There are resource officers everywhere. And still stuff like this happens. They have armed police on pretty much every school campus, do they not? I mean, I'm sure there are some that don't, but it's a very common thing to have an armed officer on the campus of the school. And that was, again, not a thing when I was a kid. Not a thing.
And I know we're kind of jumping all over the place here, going back to what happened with Charlie Kirk. And when you have very, very heated political environment, you know, I feel like we talk in existential and absolute phrases all the time. I mean, everybody, I mean, it's just so easy to throw out these words. And when you do that, we start to look at the, quote, other side as an enemy. I see the word enemy being used. But from a 30,000-foot view, the United States of America is a pretty amazing country where we have so many freedoms and rights that it's easy to take for granted. And we are a country built on disagreement. We're a country built on debate. I mean, I know it looked like when you look at the colonies and the founders, you think, oh, it was a bunch of white guys, but it really wasn't. It was a groups of people who had been betrayed and persecuted by their governments, and they themselves had had beliefs and ideologies that differed so much that it tore Europe apart with wars. These guys disagreed with each other deeply and profoundly on different levels. And so they had to build a structure that protected, safeguarded, and encouraged and relied on debate and disagreement. And so somehow I feel like we've lost the plot. We are all Americans.
That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. Again, you know how to visit with us at 314-436-7900. Feel free to send in a text message.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores with you on a day that is a very heavy day, Ranj, with the assassination murder of Charlie Kirk. We are remembering those lives that were lost on 9/11. Thinking about the kids, two kids who were injured in a shooting in Evergreen, Colorado yesterday. But I know this will be a bigger conversation as well, Ranj, something that I think we continue to talk about, but how social media has changed the way the public consumes these events. I did not want to see some of the videos that I saw yesterday, specifically a close-up video of the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And these videos are reposted and then reposted again. And a lot of times our social media is set on autoplay. If you are concerned with that, you can disable autoplay so these videos don't play. But between that and the video of the awful stabbing attack of Irina Zarutska on the South Carolina metro train,
right,
that video keeps popping up. And how do we handle that with social media? If you are a family member of somebody, if you're Charlie Cook's family, if you're Irina Zarutska's family, you would have to delete your social media.
So I guess you would. I go back and forth on this because when it's just an innocent, to imply that Charlie Kirk was not innocent because he did not do anything to deserve being murdered. But when we're talking about a person who's not a public figure, like the woman you're talking about in South Carolina, absolutely not. I waver on, we've seen the JFK assassination a million times, seen the Zapruder film a million times, and that's been out there for, 50 years? We've known about the film for a very, very long time.
But it wasn't popping up in your pocket.
It wasn't in your pocket.
It wasn't in your hand, just, in your pocket, when you're just checking your email or making a phone call.
Part of me feels like when it happens, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and I am more than willing to concede I'm wrong on this. When it happens to a public figure, I think we should almost have to see it so that we don't do it again. You know, so that we see how, because it's just, for a lot of us, if he were murdered and we didn't see it, it's just an idea. You know, it's almost like, It's almost like you don't see how visceral and awful it is to do that to another human being. But when you do see it, maybe it makes you think twice about doing that to another human being. You know what I mean? Maybe it.
What about the desensitizing factor of it?
I don't know if it has that effect. Maybe it does. But when I see the video, I think, oh, my God, the one you're talking about, the close up, I didn't see it. For myself, somebody sent it to me, and I thought, oh, my God, that can't be real. That has to be AI, because it looked way too graphic. It almost
awful.
Looked like a movie.
Yeah.
And so I thought, no, that can't be it. That can't be. And then turns out it was, because other more reputable sources started to pick up on it. And then I trusted it. So I wish I had not seen it.
Yeah.
But I think that it can serve a good purpose to see something like that, because then you can see for yourself how awful shooting another human being is. Right?
Yeah,
and maybe it doesn't have that effect. Maybe it desensitizes us. I feel Like for a lot of people, it does not.
It might be both. I think it does shock older people what we are seeing with millennials and Gen Z, because so much is out there and so much is on TikTok. There was a psychologist who wrote a piece that said this is the first generation of kids that can't be shocked. And that's what I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose our ability to be shocked. We should be shocked and we should recoil.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. We're going to do a little palate cleanser here. When we come back, we will talk to Matt Shears. And Matt is covering this Google lawsuit, and it has to do with data and privacy, your data that is out there, and privacy, and just Google on different applications and what it means for them, what it means for you. Matt Shears, the president and CEO of the Computer and Communications Industry Association, joins us next on KMOX.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.